Kurt asked me last week, he said, would you mind sharing some things about some of my recent trips? I've been on a couple. As you know, a couple Sundays I haven't been here. And it's... All right, cool. Dave, is the video... Okay, there we go. Cool. Dave was kind enough to give me a hand with some of these slides. Got a couple things I'd like to report. The prison ministry is doing fantastic at Avery Mitchell. I'm involved in that, as you guys know. I'm spending a couple hours a week there each week. Seeing as Alice shared with what's going on here on Wednesday nights with the Bible studies, I have the same thing going on. The Lord is working through those men. I'm just showing up and helping facilitate that gathering, but that's one of the things that I'm so happy that the Lord has opened that door for me. Last January, I think it was, or February, Brent Ramsey and I went to, as an invitation through Jacob, to a gathering in Raleigh by Antioch Church that was simulcast worldwide and called World Mandate. And since then, I've been involved in several other things, but this all took place. The Lord opened those doors through Jacob Yelton. That was, I've spoke about it before. That was awesome. Through that thing at World Mandate in Raleigh, I realized that there's 3 billion people that's never heard the gospel. I had no clue. I mean, I thought missionaries had been out at work since the 1800s, 1700s. So I had no clue that there's 3 billion people on this earth that's never heard the name Jesus. And that's what this focus of this group was. And and I'm still wearing the wristband. This was an entry band that this was our pass to get in for the weekend. I've not taken it off since that time. that amazes me. So every time something now comes up that Jacob thinks I need to go to, he makes sure that I'm aware of it. So he called me a few months ago and he said, we're having a prayer gathering on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And for you folks who've never been to D.C., between the Capitol building and the, down like 4 miles down the mall, is the Washington Monument. There's a big grassy area, huge. You know, it's a big track around it or a big gravel area around it. People congregate there every day. And this group organized a gathering there, and it took place weekend before last. And it became a tent city. There was a tent for every state. So there was 50 tents. People from each one of those states were there, and then people from all over the world. Valerie and I went up for it, and I didn't go. It started Friday night at 6 p.m. I didn't go because I understand we're from that area, not too far from that area. So we understood the traffic around D.C., so we decided not to go. And I showed up Saturday morning. I got up real early and rode the metro over. It's the best way to get around the city. And these tents just blew my mind. When I got there, I had seen pictures on the, you know, the internet that they had been posting. And there was tents everywhere. There was regional tents. There was, I think, 57 tents in all. Some of them were huge. So I went to the North Carolina tent. I was kind of the first person there. I got up early to just see it open up, see it wake up. I wanted to see, and I was praying that the Lord would show up in a mighty way, and I was really encouraged by what I saw on Saturday. There was I think that North Carolina had the prettiest tent. I did go by the Maryland tent. It wasn't too pretty. But people started coming in by the droves, by buses, by just crowds of people started coming, and they started filling these tents. And let's see. Praise and worship started breaking out in these tents in a very sincere, humble way. And I was so encouraged to see that. The state we were next to, North Carolina tent was next to, these tents weren't that big. We were next to South Carolina. And, of course, they were only about the width of this church apart, these tents. And so you could kind of visit in with it, and you could walk around, and they were just, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, these folks from South Carolina were praising the Lord and worshiping and reading Scripture. And this was going on all over that mall. Just imagine, in Washington, D.C. They were praying about issues that, you know, Eric... country has, you know, come against. They, you know, they were praying about abortion, and they were praying about the death penalty, and they were praying about war, and they were praying about hunger, and they were praying about all these things. And you could walk around these tents, and you could visit, and you could hear that, and these people were singing and praising the Lord and falling on their knees. If we can go to the next slide, we had in the middle of the, you know, I don't know if you guys can see that, but that's what I'm talking about. These tents went for miles. And, you know, right on the mall, and I'm thinking, you know, right there in that Capitol building was where a lot of these decisions were made for our country. You know, we've taken down the Ten Commandments. We've made abortion, my goodness, I can't imagine, you know, what it's going to be like in heaven with all those aborted babies going to be in heaven. We've passed these laws, and they're hearing about this, and there's people standing in front of the Capitol building, and they're proclaiming the name of Jesus. There's groups of people from China, from the Philippines, from all over the world, from Africa, that have come here to gather on this mall and to praise and lift up the name of Jesus. It was awesome. It was awesome. Go to the next one. We don't have a whole lot of time. I've got about a three-week message here. In the middle of this group of people, there was a stage. And that's where all your keynote speakers spoke. It was live simulcast all over the world, so you could watch it from your computer live. I posted on Facebook a lot of the events that were happening. There was several keynote speakers, and then there were several regional tents where these keynote speakers spoke again. So it was just an awesome experience to see what the Lord was doing. And it was mostly young folks, you know, college-age folks, a lot of old folks too, but and a lot of real young folks. But the majority of this focus was for the folks that we now have in college, for the Jacob Yeltons of the world that have a desire, have a sincere calling that, you know, they, you know, every time Jacob and I get together, we talk about Jesus. Every time that we, you know, we are on Facebook, we talk about Jesus. As we just sang, it's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelations, it's all about Jesus. And him and I are just, you know, we're like-minded in that result, or in that concern. So next, we had all different nationalities. You know, right now we have a lot of things going on in our country that is putting one group of people against another group of people. You know, we have people that are, you know, because we're not the same color, because we're not the same denomination, because we're not the same sexual orientation, because all those things. I mean, there's all kind of ways that Satan has used, and it's a deception. It's not the issue. The issue is sin. And Satan will use anything in his power to get our minds off of sin and onto my brother, because he's not the same color as I am. And we had that there. We had people coming together. Sin is sin. I don't water that down. If it separates you from God, it's wrong and breaks God's heart. But that's the issue is sin. The issue is not the results of sin. So we had that. We had people coming together in all different nationalities. This is, I don't know if you can see that, this is a North Carolina tent. We had really cool old-style lights. The people that decorated the tent were here in service with us a few weeks ago. Jess and Braxton Wins, they run a parachurch organization at Campbell University where Jacob is going to, called Firestarters. They set this tent up, and they actually brought in hay bales. He's still on Facebook trying to give all these hay bales away, or straw bales. He brought way too many, and now he's stuck with them. Nobody wants them. He lives in Raleigh. There's not, I guess, a big need for bales of straw in Raleigh. But, you know, that's how it looked. Now, that's the Campbell group in there with the guitar, and they're, you know, they're praising the Lord. And I had a lot of other pictures I could have sent. There's people standing out around this thing, just mobs of people. You can't see through them. You can go to the next one, brother, just for the lack, for the sake of time. This is Jessica and Braxton Wins. They run the Firestarters program at Campbell University. They're both in full-time ministry now as we speak. And I think I had, no, we can go back. Okay, I thought I had one more of Jacob standing. Jacob, believe it or not, has an awesome voice. He actually led, and I was so surprised, he actually led a lot of the praise and worship for the tent. And I'm thinking, where's that been? And he's got a guitar and everything. Don't have to play guitar yet, but the fact that he's got one, I think the Lord will use him. What I'm going to get into, and I've only got 10 minutes, and I've got 2 hours worth of stuff to talk about. I want to touch on a couple things. And I'm just going to briefly touch on it. If I get a chance to come back and finish this, I will, because this is on my heart. The Lord showed me a lot of things. The Lord dealt with me a lot after I left there on Saturday night. I'm going to be reading a scripture out of 1 John 4:1. And the Lord, I've been dealing with some of these issues. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. My mom and dad were Pentecostal people. I grew up in a signs and wonders, name it and claim it, grab it and keep it type denomination. And I thought that was for everyone. And I thought if you didn't believe that way, you weren't saved. So my whole existence, up until I met a certain individual that's been my spiritual mentor, as I came back in relationship with Jesus Christ, in a close relationship with him, I thought for my entire life that there was something wrong with me. Because I never spoke in tongues. I never fell out in the spirit. I never put my hands on somebody and saw them healed. Never once. And I thought it was me. So the Lord has been using that, and I shared this with Kurt last Sunday before I spoke on this. The Lord has showed me through my relationship with certain individuals and with Jacob and with Odysseus, my spiritual mentor, that some of that I've been in error on. Some of that I've sought after. Some of that I've wanted. Some of that I've even wanted for this group of people here, that I've been in error. Saturday was an awesome day in D.C. I left there feeling awesome. I left there feeling like, this, you know, the praise and the worship and the speaking in tongues. I mean, the spiritual manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, we'll call it for now, were alive and well. And I said, man, I finally, this is it. So, the scripture I'm going to share with you this morning is, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. The keynote speaker, which I actually listen to almost every day on YouTube, Francis Chan, spoke Saturday night. And that's when it started with me. You know, I'm at a Panthers game. I'm rared up and I'm hollering, shouting, raising hands. You see me, I act a little crazy. And I'm doing all that. Jacob's doing it. The whole group is doing it, you know. We're into it. Francis Chan comes out on the stage, and I think right there. Okay, for lack of time. Francis Chan comes out, and he just stops and says, "Oh, slow down." And there's, at that time, 30, 40, 50,000 people sitting there at the stage waiting for him to speak for 2 hours. And he said, "The Lord spoke to me in my motel room today that this isn't about me. I know all you folks are here to hear Francis Chan." And he said, "This isn't about me. I have to repent because I'm putting Francis Chan in place of Jesus. And a lot of the things that I've seen throughout today has been about us." And he said, we need to stop that. He said, "I don't feel that's where we need to go." He said, and he bowed his knee there on that stage, and he repented of the flesh that we all deal with, that he was dealing with, because he was about to bring a message. And that spoke to me. I mean, like, I don't even know what he talked about after that. I don't have a clue. But the Lord just, like, ramped it up with me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Pay attention, Bob. There's something here." So I get back on the metro, which is really cool. And I drive, you know, because you can't drive around in D.C. very well. I ride out to New Carrollton, get in my car, and drive back over the shore. And I'm thinking, you know, "Lord, what is it? What do you want to show me?" And I didn't know. So I get up that Sunday morning, and I go to my local church that I'm a part of in Maryland. And it's a house gathering. There's 15 people there, like there usually is. I mean, sometimes there's 100, sometimes there's 15. And I tell them how great Saturday was. And I meant it. Well, Sunday was kind of a rainy day. I wasn't going to go back over to D.C. because it was an outdoor event, and I didn't feel like it. Val wasn't feeling good. She had a sinus infection or something. She didn't feel good. So I stayed at the house. I stayed at Val's mom's house, and I bought up her big screen thing, and I was watching it simulcast. And a couple people spoke, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me again, just like I'm speaking to you guys, like, research that. Find out what's going on here, because I didn't know. I was in it. I was already drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I was doing it. And in Matthew 7:15 through 17, another scripture that the Lord has showed me this week, he said, "Beware of false prophets." And before I go any further, I got 5 minutes. I got to wrap this thing up because this thing goes on. I've got pages of this. But there were speakers that got on that stage that I knew wasn't correct in their theology. There was one guy got up there and he healed everybody. You know, every 30,000 people, he healed them all. There was other people got up there and delivered everybody there that had sin in their lives. So everybody there was saved. So I had to start researching this. And I mean, the Lord really showed. I said, I really wanted to share it with Val's family because they were so encouraged. They were asking questions. They were saying, "Hey, tell us about what's going on in D.C. These folks aren't Christian." And I was ashamed to show them because I knew it wasn't biblical. I knew what I was witnessing on those stages in Washington, D.C. had changed, had turned. And for lack of time, what I want to leave you with today and what the Lord showed me is the greatest deception that the church is facing with our young people today. Now, we have people that don't know anything about Jesus. We have people that are, you know, out there lost in their sins and transgressions that are separated from God. Then we have the college group of people that are sincere about worshiping the Lord. They're sincere about doing the work of the Lord. And there's people that are manipulating these people's minds into believing that they themselves can be apostles on the same level as Christ's apostles. That they themselves can obtain the gift of healing. That they themselves can do mighty signs and wonders. And they've gotten away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and it's turned into the gospel of man. And it sounds just like the gospel if you're not listening. You know, if there's a 2-degree difference, one of the things that Christ is so concerned about is we do it in spirit and truth. You can't do it unless it's true and call it Jesus. And if there's a 2-degree difference, if you have a line that's going straight and that line's 2 degrees off, you don't notice it for a long time. But as that line goes further away and further away, that 2 degrees starts to get greater and greater and greater. We now have a movement in the church called the New Apostolic Reformation. I'd never heard the word. But you folks that have an interest in it, you folks that want to find out what's going on in our college campuses today, you want to find out what's going on with the Benny Hinn's of the world, you want to find out why those folks that have the gift of healing aren't in hospitals, the gift that the people that have discernment aren't buying lottery tickets and winning, is because they're a Satan. And our young people are flocking to the signs and the wonders. And it breaks my heart. Because I want it too. I would love to be able to come up to, you know, cast all the demons out of Val. You know, just, you know. And I'm going to say this in 2 minutes. Do I believe that Satan is at work in these folks' ministries? Brother, if we can go a couple slides up to that one that has all of the, there's a whole bunch of scripture I'm not going to get to today. You can go on, keep going, please. Right there. Come back. Okay. This was the group of people. Every one of those. Todd White, Lou Engle, Sean Bolts. I know most of them. Even Ricky Skaggs, the country music singer. Most of these folks were there. And most of these folks were pretty close to being dead on. But a couple of them are so far off from Scripture. And the folks that are doing this are so far off from Scripture that it scared me. When you hear about the New Apostolic Reformation, if, like I say, if you guys have any interest in researching this, look into it. Let's go a couple, go one up. Let's see where we at here. Okay. These people come out on these stages, and I don't know if you guys can see this, but this was the keynote speaker for Sunday. His name's Todd White. I've listened to Todd White for years. Todd White has now come over to the Apostolic Reformation. And he claims to be a super apostle for Jesus Christ. And these young folks are sitting there and they want to be a super apostle. They want to go to Bethel. They want to go to Bill Johnson's church in Redding, California. They want to pay $600 to become an apostle so they can have the signs and wonders. The scriptures tell us we're sanctified through truth. This is not truth. I always wondered in these charismatic movements, how come people had no depth? How come the people that I went to church with, when they fell, they'd go to church and they'd speak in tongues and they would raise their hands and they would worship and they would pray for people for healing, people get healed and whatever, whatever. You know, I saw all that growing up, but where was the depth? Where was the root? And the root wasn't planted in Jesus. The root was planted in signs and wonders. So I wanted to share that with you this morning. I still believe that God heals. I still believe that God has the ability to make someone speak in tongues. I don't believe it's the jabbering that we hear in most churches today is speaking in tongues. I believe it's people speaking in gibberish. But I believe God can do that. I believe God does that. I believe He does it on the mission fields. I believe He does it in the outlying realms. I believe if it's done as the Scriptures say, it's done as proper to do. Do I hear it that way? I don't hear it that way. Our God is sovereign. But our God wants us to search the Scriptures. There's a Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 talking about Paul and Silas' second missionary journey to Thessalonica. Thessalonica, if you've ever studied Paul was really not liked by no one. You know, when the Lord got a hold of Saul from Tarsus and he said, you're going to work in the church, in the Gentile church, everybody came against him. James, the brother of Jesus, Peter, the leader of the church, nobody liked him because he had changed coach. You know, he was a Yankee that had become a Confederate. We kind of get that. He had changed coats. And now he was out spreading the gospel. It was a different gospel because you could eat what you wanted to as long as you just blessed it. You didn't have to wash your hands before you eat. You didn't have to be circumcised. You know, the message goes on and on. So he was actually kicked out of Thessalonica for preaching the gospel of Jesus. These folks were under heavy persecution. He ends up in Berea. And in Berea, the Bereans accepted him. And they accepted him. They were willing, the scriptures say, willing to listen to him. He'd just gotten kicked out of Thessalonica. He was in Mesopotamia in Greece. And he got kicked out. So he goes into Berea, and he starts doing the same thing. Him and Silas wondering what's going to happen. I mean, he'd already been beaten twice, shipwrecked once. You know, I mean, this man had went through a lot of trials and tribulations, and the church was saying, this guy's a fake. This guy's phony. And the Bereans accepted his word. They listened to him eagerly, the scriptures say. And they based it on the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had at that time. They based it on the Old Testament scriptures. So then I start studying on what the Bereans were. And the Bereans were a group of Jews in Berea that the Holy Spirit had done a work in their lives. And they searched the scriptures for truth every day. The only thing they used was the Old Testament because that's all they had at the time. So what I want to leave you with this morning is that whatever you see, whether it's TBN, whether it's one of these super apostles, one of these super pastors, whether it's Benny Hinn, whether it's whoever, if it's not in here, it's not in here, and it's not meant to be. And the Bereans got that. So I hope my prayer to you folks today is become more like a Berean. Become more like, get in the Word daily. It's infectious. It'll get you out of bed in the morning because you want to know more about it. And ask God to reveal the truth to you. Because there's a lot of great people that are saved, that are working for Jesus, that are in this movement. They're not knowing they're being deceived because they're after these signs and wonders. And that breaks my heart. The last slide is a Baptist preacher up in Virginia named Paul Washer. We keep on going. We keep on going. Right there. I listen to Paul a lot. He's a great missionary in Peru, but he has a church right up not far from my dad's church in Virginia. And Paul is a very outspoken, was a youth pastor in the Baptist movement for a long time. He said, I'm talking about a power, and this hits it right on the head. Not to fall down on the ground and shake like a worm. Not the power to claim a Mercedes Benz. Not the power to say you healed somebody when in fact he didn't get healed. I'm talking about the power to live the Christian life. The power to walk in sacrificial love. The power to pray down strongholds. And the powers to preach the gospel. That's what I'm talking about, and that's what Bob Ivins needs. I thank you for your time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you that Kurt gives me the opportunity, Father, from time to time to share what you put on my heart. Father, I ask that they hear nothing from Bob Ivins. I ask you that you, as they leave here today, they ponder these things. They ponder whatever. It's not the same message for everyone. There's different situations that Satan's going to use in each one of our lives as long as we're here in this flesh, that he's going to try to discourage. He's going to try to cast doubt. He's going to try to confuse, Father. And I ask that we get into the Scripture. I ask that we become more like the Bereans. I ask that we study the Word, that we understand what you're saying based totally on Scripture. Whatever I say, Father, I ask them to go to the Word and look it up. Whatever Kirk says, I ask them to do the same, Father. Whatever they hear on the radio, on the television, and if it's not between the books, if this canon, you said when on the cross it was finished. The canon of Scripture is closed. The revelations that these folks are having from God are not from you, Father. And I ask us to make sure that we're worshiping the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of man. I ask you to go to these people this week, Father. Keep your angels about them. I ask that you be with the needs that were brought up early this morning. Be with Kurt and Karen as they come back home, Father. Be with our ministries, Father. Give us a heart for ministry. Give us a heart to love one another. Give us a heart to fellowship, Father, to worship you in song. I thank you for the songs this morning. And I ask you to go with us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.